Welcome to the Texas Appellate Law Podcast, covering topics of interest to lawyers handling civil appellate matters in Texas courts. This podcast demystifies appellate law and pulls back the curtain on the Texas appellate system through conversations with judges, court staff, and top trial and appellate practitioners. Listen in to discover best practices and tips for successfully presenting your case, managing your docket, and promoting efficiency through legal technology. And now here are your hosts, Todd Smith and Jody Sanders.
Welcome to the Texas Appellate Law Podcast. I'm Todd Smith.
And I'm Jody Sanders.
We're glad to have you with us today. This is our very first episode, and we thought just to kind of get things started, we would spend a little time talking about ourselves and what our backgrounds are and what this podcast is all about, perhaps in maybe a Q&A form with each other. Jody, why don't you tell our listeners where you come from, where you're practicing, and what has led you to be interested in practicing Texas appellate law?
Sure. So I am a partner at Kelly Hart & Hallman in Fort Worth in both the appellate and the litigation sections. I've been there almost 15 years. I started right out of law school. I grew up in a little town called Orange, Texas, which is in the very southeast corner of the state. I went to college at TCU in Fort Worth, went to law school at University of Houston, moved back to Fort Worth right after that, wanted to be back in Fort Worth, and I've been there ever since. You know, starting out of law school, I didn't think I wanted to do appellate work at all, honestly. I really only had the exposure of doing briefing and legal writing and didn't really like it. It was on an expert issue that was pretty boring. And so I thought, well, this is not something that's going to be anything for me. But then I got into practice and worked on a couple of briefs and it was okay. Didn't really know much because there wasn't a lot of appellate work there. It was mostly litigation and occasionally they'd handle their own appeals. And then about my third year of practice, David Keltner joined our firm, who's a phenomenal appellate lawyer. And I started working with him and realized what appellate practice really meant and realized that I loved it. As David always says, our job as appellate lawyers is to talk to judges. And I found that that's what I enjoyed, the intellectual part of it, the research, the writing, spending way too much time sitting just thinking about the law at my desk every day, which is really hard to put in your billing and explain what you're talking about when you do that. But I just realized I loved it. And it's been that way ever since. There's just something exciting to me and probably only to me and fellow legal nerds like me about getting a new case, digging into the record, trying to figure out what the issues are, what's preserved, that kind of stuff, and how best to present that to get three judges who don't know anything about your case to say the trial court did something wrong.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess you might say that your path to becoming an appellate practitioner was sort of non-traditional.
I think that's right. I didn't do the traditional clerkship route, any of that kind of stuff. I just kind of fell into it by luck and it ended up being a perfect fit.
Okay. Well, I guess I took a more traditional path to it. I also happen to be a TCU Horned Frog undergrad. I've got a few years on you, though, Jody, I'm sorry to say, but after I came out of TCU, I kicked around a little bit and then went to law school down at St. Mary's and did reasonably well in law school and then found myself on the Law Journal. And then my third year found myself editor-in-chief of the Law Journal. And so I was doing a whole lot of editing other people's work and in addition to my own writing and was doing some moot court stuff. And so I kind of started getting the bug a little bit even in law school. But then What I did, I did do a judicial clerkship. I came out of law school and then clerked at the Supreme Court, Texas Supreme Court here for Raul Gonzalez for 2 years in the mid-90s. And then from there, the world kind of opened up to me. I wasn't sure exactly where I was headed. I wound up taking a job with Fulbright & Jaworski in Dallas and spent the next 9 years at that firm. And then the last three of which were here in Austin. While I was there, I did both litigation and appellate work. Really where my heart was in the appellate work. I figured out while I was clerking, I think, that I had a reasonably good skill set to do that kind of work. I had seen the kind of work product that the lawyers of Texas were putting out and presenting to the Texas Supreme Court, the highest court in the state. I had seen what they were doing in terms of the quality of the oral argument, which I'll say I think has improved a lot in the last 20-something years since I've been practicing. And I kind of figured, well, if those guys can do it, those guys and gals can do it, I can do it. And so I just refused to not be allowed to do it. I developed my practice that way. And then after all those years at Fulbright, I decided to open my own practice. And so for the last 14 years, I've been variations of a sole practitioner, having as many as three other lawyers with me in my firm. And these days, I'm back to being a solo, and things are going really well. I love the work. What I'm curious about from you is you mentioned as far as thinking about the law and presenting it to a three-judge panel, I'm doing a lot of trial court work, a lot of litigation support kind of work, jury charges, mm-hmm. case theory strategy, summary judgment motions, and that kind of thing. Is that a significant component of your practice?
It is. When I talk to people who ask me, well, what is an appellate practice? What do you do? The answer is a whole lot of things. It varies month to month. It varies week to week. And some months, all I'm doing is sitting, researching, writing briefs, thinking about that kind of stuff. Other months, you get a call, hey, next week we're headed to trial. And even though you don't know anything about the case, we'd like you to come sit alongside us and help us preserve error, help us think about how to do the charge, make sure all our objections are made properly, all those kind of things. And so it really does vary. There may be a month where I'm gone for 2 weeks, all of a sudden just in some far-flung locale to go help out a trial team that called us. And so it really does vary. It all kind of comes back to the same thing that I mentioned earlier, talking to judges. We're there to really kind of keep up on the law and tell the judge why the law is what it is and how it applies in this particular case, and thinking about, well, what do we want the record to look like? If we're going to win or we're going to lose, what things do we think need to be in the record to most effectively present our appeal? And a lot of that, I even call it appellate prevention work, because if we do it right, then the other side's going to have a much harder time appealing some of the things that went on, and we're going to have an easier time. So I think I do a lot of that. It sounds like you do too.
I think it's at least half my practice, which is interesting. It goes in cycles, much like you suggest. I'll go through pretty long stretches where I haven't been in front of a court of appeals arguing. I'm usually filing briefs, with some regularity, but that these things sort of ebb and flow over time. Mm-hmm. And I'm frequently primarily in the courts of appeals, and because I live in Austin, and that's just where the bulk of my work comes from, primarily in the third court of appeals. Other times, it seems like all those cases that have been percolating in the courts of appeals all go up to the Supreme Court around the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I will wind up doing stretches where I'm doing more work in the Supreme Court than I am in the courts of appeals. But it's a pretty constant thing for me to have cases going in the trial court. And I love that phrase that you I don't know if you coined that or if Keltner coined that, maybe, but that appellate prevention work, I think that's very descriptive of what a lot of us do, because I'm very grateful to have the work that isn't just me sitting behind the computer writing briefs. I love that work. I really do. But, just one little war story, it's not even a war story really, but one little tale from my days at the big firm. We were the late 90s, the market was still pretty good. And as young lawyers, we were going all over the country and litigating these big national dockets. And I was trying to build this appellate practice. And one thing I figured out pretty quick is, hey, my 8 hours of billable time working on a brief was a lot harder to get than 8 hours of billable time working on a litigation file.
That is 100% true.
Because for me, it was like, I've got to be, doing the mental gymnastics it takes to figure this stuff out, while my counterpart, who started at the firm the same time I did, was busy reading Sports Illustrated on an airplane somewhere. And his billable hour doing that was just as good as my billable hour doing this. And so that's one thing that makes me really grateful for the stuff that gets me out from behind the desk and out from behind the computer, because it is really very mentally taxing work.
It is.
So maybe I thought for a minute, one thing that we would do is kind of tell folks how we got here, because as far as I know, this is the first appellate law related podcast in Texas. I guess Justice Wise from Houston has a podcast, but his is more focused on Texas history.
That's right.
And so I haven't been able to find anyone doing a podcast focused on Texas appellate law. And I don't really consider myself to be a trailblazer. I've been thinking about doing this for several years, but you and I recently connected and started talking about it. And we, I think, had a little prodding by Blake Hawthorne, who everyone knows is the clerk of the Supreme Court of Texas, about, hey, you know, we should do a podcast. And next thing I know, here we are sitting together at a table doing it face to face.
That's exactly right. You know, like all good things, it started out with a joke on Twitter where I mentioned the idea of doing an appellate podcast and said I'd be glad to invite all my appellate Twitter friends, which, by the way, if you're on Twitter and you like appellate law, there's the appellate Twitter hashtag you should follow. It's got all kinds of great practitioners from all over the U.S. and actually all over the world. They have all kinds of great stories, articles of interest, tips, tricks. I mean, just fantastic content out there. So there's my free plug for the day. But I made a joke about that, and Todd responded and said, well, are you actually interested in doing a podcast? And the answer is, I'm a nerdy introvert in my late 30s, so of course I'm interested in doing a podcast. I just didn't know what anyone would be willing to hear me talk about for 30 minutes. And so Todd and I got to talking, and we realized that we both had an interest, but both thought doing it by ourselves was a little too overwhelming. And I think we each bring different strengths. Todd already had all the technology in hand. He knew how to work it, and that is something I had not explored. And I'm happy to talk in a microphone about nonsense all day long. So it really worked out. And like he said, you know, it really there was some prodding by Blake Hawthorne. And if you hear a little bit of an echo on this podcast, there's a reason for that. We're actually sitting at counsel table at the Texas Supreme Court. Blake was extremely gracious, said he would have us here and host us for our first couple of episodes, and he'd be a guest, and he'd get another justice to come join us. And we certainly were not about to pass up that offer. So right now we're sitting in the courtroom, talking to each other in an empty courtroom with all the pictures of the justices looking down on an empty bench in front of us, which is nice because nobody's going to fire a question at us that we're not prepared for.
I'll have to take a photo of what we're doing here, and maybe we'll post it in the show notes, a link to it or something like that. No, that's exactly right. In fact, it's funny because even though you and I both went to the same undergrad institution, I knew of you. I'd heard your name, and I think read some of your CLE stuff. In fact, I just pulled up a couple of days ago the findings of fact and conclusions of law paper with Justice Keltner, because I was in a situation I needed to do a little more digging than what I had, the knowledge level I had off the top of my head. But yeah, I mean, this is something I've thought about doing for years. It seemed like there was a need in the space for it, and if it's done right, we can do it in such a way where we're not going to, you know, bore everybody to tears. Mm-hmm. You know, I think our objective is to, you know, try to keep the episodes reasonably short, 30 minutes or less, probably. Some may be a little longer and some may be a little shorter, and talk primarily about appellate related issues. And there may be some episodes. We decided to do this inaugural episode with just the two of us. But as you suggested, Jody, we're going to have some folks come on and we're going to ask them some questions. I don't consider myself, as a fellow introvert, I don't consider myself a great interviewer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you put three people together, surely we can have a conversation that generates something worth listening to. I like to really think about it in terms of it being a conversation. And some of the podcasts that I listen to today, the legal-related podcasts even, are not super technical. Mm-hmm. It's really more, you know, about finding like-minded people who, you know, they share your interest and they speak the same language as you. And I think we can do some fun things with this that not only geek out with our appellate brothers and sisters,
right,
but we can, I hope, appeal to some of the trial bar as well to provide them some guidance, because I always consider that kind of part of my job is to educate the trial lawyers on things so that we can have that appellate prevention practice.
No, and I think that's exactly right. And I kind of have the same vision. You know, people that want to geek out to appellate stuff, we're here for you. And let us know if you have a great topic, if you think you'd make a good guest. We want to hear from people from all backgrounds. We want to be very intentional about amplifying voices that maybe don't always have that. So contact us. We'll share our contact information a little bit later, but we'd love to hear from you and maybe have you on a guest on the show to join us. But I think that's right. We want to make it something that's interesting to people who aren't just appellate lawyers, because I think, you know, if you look at the advanced appellate course, there's about 100 in the state of Texas of 30 million people. So that's not going to get us a lot of listenership. So hopefully lawyers who don't do appeals, maybe even lawyers who don't do litigation will be interested, or people that just want to learn a little bit more about how the appellate process works. You know, we recently had primary elections, and even I, as an appellate lawyer, don't know some of the names on some of the ballots for the races in appellate courts and trial courts. I did my research, but everybody texted me on primary day, hey, who are these judges? What do they do? What's this all about? And so maybe we can educate the public a little bit about that process as well and kind of shed some light on what they do.
Right. I think that sounds great. So I guess that's kind of where I thought we would go for this episode. Did you have anything else?
I don't think so. Look for us. We're going to be on social media. We haven't developed our hashtags, our ads, anything like that. But I'll go ahead and put my contact information out there. In the meantime, if you want to contact us, my email is jody.sanders, S-A-N-D-E-R-S, at Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, Hart, H-A-R-T.com. You know, if you have thoughts for show, feedback, suggestions, if you want to be a guest and you think you have some great ideas, reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you.
I'll just echo that too. My email address is Todd, T-O-D-D, at appealsplus.com. That's appealsplus spelled out. Since we mentioned Twitter, I'll just throw out my Twitter handle too.
I think that's a good idea.
It's D with the first letter D, Todd Smith, all one word together. And again, two D's in Todd, although I don't find that people generally misspell that. having such a common name is a blessing and a curse, I suppose. So, but no, I totally agree with what Jody just said. We really are looking for input and feedback, and we would love to grow a tribe to come out of this. And, you know, social media provides so many ways for people to reach out and connect. And I think that this podcast can do the same thing, and we'll look forward to connecting with listeners on those other media.
I think that's good. And I'll throw my Twitter hat and my Twitter at too. It's Jody S. Sanders. So J-O-D-Y-S again, A-N-D-E-R-S.
Great. Well, that's it for this episode. We'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Texas Appellate Law Podcast. To stay in touch with your hosts, suggest topics, or express interest in coming on the show, visit us online at texapplawpod.com or on Twitter at texapplawpod. The views expressed by the participants on this podcast are their own and not those of their law firms, courts, or employers. Nothing you hear on this show establishes an attorney-client relationship or is legal advice.